Lift your Bible up. Repeat after me. Lord, this is not the letter. This is your voice. Lord, anoint your voice that I may hear it and bring me to the deep things of the revelation of your voice. In Jesus' name. Amen. Go to Luke 12. I have a message from the Lord. If the camel comes in, praise God, you know. We ought to play that on the video one time. I have Jonah come in. I have a message from the Lord. It's the only camel I ever saw wear glasses, you know. VeggieTales. Anybody ever watch that in VeggieTales? Oh, man, you need to go get it. I'm telling you, it's great. VeggieTales, Jonah, powerful. What a choir, too. I'll let you borrow it if you want. Praise God. And Luke chapter 12. Whoo, something's happening already in here. Glory to God. Is everybody there? And verse 42. Luke 12. 42. And would you read it with me, please? Is everybody there? Okay. And the Lord said, who is that faithful and wise? Hello, say faithful and wise. Steward. They got to come together to become a good steward. You got to be faithful and you got to be wise. Who is that? Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. In other words, he's not there, is he? Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying in his coming because he doesn't really see what I'm doing, and begins to beat the male and female servants with his mouth sometimes, and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint his portion with the unbeliever. So obviously this was a believer. Amen? He's talking about, what about this faithful servant that's faithful and wise? Now he's saying, listen, this is what's going to happen to my servant who was faithful and wise and turns the other way. And that servant in verse 47, who knew his master's will, and did not prepare himself or do according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. So we've got one that's going to what? Be caught in pieces and die. And one that's going to be what? Beaten. Amen? But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with a few. So we got one that's going to die. We got one that's going to be beaten with many. And one that's going to be beaten with few. These are believers. Hello. Does everybody understand that? But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, come on, read it with me. From him much shall be what? Required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask of the more. So let me share something with you. Everybody wants to get somewhere quickly. But I'm going to share something with you that the more you obtain, the more you are accountable. It's like the closer you get to the Lord, the more you're accountable, let me tell you. And what I want to talk about today is accountability produces responsibility. Is everybody with me? Accountability produces responsibility. Pedro, can you turn up the mic just a little, please? Hallelujah. Thank you. Everybody, can you say that with me? Accountability produces responsibility. Amen. So as much as you've been given with wisdom, things to do, you are required. I remember going into the prison, and there was a full tier, a full load, and I began to preach. It was the first time I went in there, and I began to preach all kinds of things about salvation and about the alive, always saved. You know, those demons started perking up, and about the works of the flesh, and no one can enter the kingdom of God, and God is making way, and jail is not a place of punishment, it's a place of rescue. Well, when I got done, I shared with everyone, okay, y'all heard it, now you're all responsible, and I left. Ooh, were they upset? Man, I'm telling you, some of them were like really upset, and some of them were very grateful because they accepted it as a rescue. Some of them accepted it as like a judgment or criticize. Oh, man, you're judging me. You know, people come up and say, you judging me? That's because they still intend to do things not right. And what they are, they're trying to hide something. They use an excuse, you're judging me. No, I'm judging your fruit, brother. I'm not judging you, I judge your fruit. Amen? Why? Because you don't want to hang around people that are unfruitful. That's how you test it, right? If somebody tells you something and doesn't do it, you know that person's not accountable, so he can't be responsible. Is everybody with me? Amen? So accountability produces responsibility. Is everybody with me? And we are in a stage right now which is very, very important. When we talked about the trust factor, amen? And I just really believe that the Lord is giving this teaching today as a shoot-off from the trust factor, which we talked about, I think it was Tuesday, wasn't it? Yeah. And he's sharing with me that we've got to be more accountable. In fact, one of the things that he did with his disciples, he sent them out two by two, didn't he? Why? So that they could be accountable to one another. Because he knows that the fight is great. And you know what? We all need one another. Amen? We all need one another. You know, we draw our strength not only from the Lord's presence, but from each other's presence. But you're not going to draw strength from a demon. You're going to draw strength from the anointing. Amen? Sometimes you get around someone, you just start talking to me, and all of a sudden you just feel strengthened, don't you? It's because of the anointing. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody chilly, or are you all right? What was that? I see some of you putting on your ice skates, so I want to make sure everybody's okay. Hallelujah. And Luke 16. While we're in Luke. Luke 16. For those of you who are new today, we really are crazy. It's okay. So don't worry about it. Just get in and get nuts. We're crazy over Jesus. How many of y'all been free from Jesus? Amen. Why? He's a freer, isn't he? He freed me. Set the captives free. And then he took the key and unlocked all those demons and commanded them to go. In Luke 16 and verse 1. Is everybody there? And he also said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward. And an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. Now, obviously the steward was not becoming accountable anymore, was he? He began to waste the master's goods, began to spend it foolishly, began to use things, misuse things, didn't keep things up, didn't keep things clean, and didn't maintain what the master had given the steward to take care of. Amen? So he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account. Everyone say account. Of your stewardship. For you can no longer be a what? Let me tell you, if you are not accountable, you will not be responsible. You know, when somebody tries to correct someone and they get all offended and stuff, you know why? Because they're not willing to be accountable. So that means that you cannot trust them. They will not be responsible either. Do you ever try to talk to someone and whatever and correct them, and they make every kind of reason and excuse of everything, why are they doing this and when they're doing that and whatever, and they go around some things and go, oh, I'm blessed. Oh, I'm blessed. Hey, God blesses the righteous and the wicked. Don't give me that stuff. Hello? The blessings pour out on everyone. Oh, I'm blessed. Oh, I just can't receive correction because I'm loaded with pride. But man, yeah, I got money in my pocket. I got a new car. I got a new job. I got this. I got that. Too many eyes. You eyed out, man. Oh, hallelujah. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg. He just produced pride, didn't he? That's a fruit of pride. You kidding? I'm not doing that. No way. What right do you have to do that? I worked harder than you. Hello? Pride. He produced pride, didn't he? So now he's saying, man, I'm losing my stewardship. What am I going to do? I got to do something. Then this, I have what? Resolve what to do. That when I am put out, because he knew he was getting put out, of the stewardship, they may receive me in their houses. So he called every one of his master's debtors to him, and said to the first, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. So he just stole 50 from the master, didn't he? See, once you open the door to the devil in one area, he begins to take over. That's why the Bible says, make no place for the devil. Now, if that steward would have went to his master and said, Master, I repent. I'm sorry. I misused this. I did this. I'm wrong. Please forgive me. Then the master would have taken him back in. Hello? But see, now the steward knew he was going to be removed because he was trying to justify what he did. He wasn't going to go beg. He said, I'm not going to be like the ones that that my master deals with. I'm not going to be like them. Oh. And he said, 100 measures? Okay, cool. And then he said to another in verse 7, how much do you owe? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, great. Right? What? 80. Do you notice how he went up? He said, well, got away with that one. Let's go 30 more. So the master commended the unjust steward because he dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. Now I want you to understand something. First of all, the master did not know that the price was cut. He thought that the steward was collecting what was owed to him. Does everybody understand that? I don't think many people understand that verse. They're making it like this master was, okay, good job, you stole from them, you got what's owed me. No, the master did not know that 100 was owed. He thought that 50 was owed, and then he thought 80 was owed, so he commended his steward for a good job. Does everybody understand that? Come on, are you with me? Oh, hallelujah. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by what? Unrighteous mammon. That when you fail, they may receive you into a what? Everlasting house. What's an everlasting house of unrighteous? It's called hell. Do you understand that what the Lord was saying? He's saying, yeah. Because some, the stewards that have fallen, that have used me and have lied, and have taken advantage of my grace and mercy, they run because they know they can't stand before me. And they go make friends of the world, and they will have an everlasting home with them in hell. Does everybody understand that? You know why? First of all, this steward was not accountable. He was not accountable. He lost his accountability. And he no longer was responsible. Now, responsibility is how you respond. Amen? So if you are not accountable, you cannot be responsible. You know, that's where, you know, God places, and we've talked about this before, God places us in a fellowship for a period of time. Sometimes it's for a long time, sometimes it's temporary. Amen? But what he's doing with us is he places us into a place to learn. Amen? There's something he's going to impart, isn't he? If you've come to this ministry, it's because God's going to impart something. Some of you will stay and serve. Some of you will go to another ministry and take what's been imparted. Some of you will start other ministries and everything else. Amen? So what happens is if you leave that fellowship before God finishes or imparts what he's trying to do, you can never retain that again. Never. What has to happen is he's got to try and get something similar to it. Is everybody with me? But it's got to come another way. In other words, when you bake something, it's never baked the same way again, is it? Hello? It's never baked the same way. And no matter if you have that recipe written out, you know, there's always that little slight difference of taste every time you bake it. So when God tries to bring something to you and you move out of place, because that's what the devil does, moves people out of position so they can't get what is supposed to come forth from his throne room. Is everybody with me? And why? What is he trying to do? He's kind of trying to create accountability. 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 Why? So he can be what? Responsible. And in this, you can get and take what he's imparted in you and bring it somewhere so that you are, they'll know that you are accountable. You want to be accountable. That way you are responsible for what God has imparted in you to become a good steward of what he's given you. I had an encounter with the Lord over 13 years ago. I'm never going to stop telling people about Jesus. I got delivered and healed. I got my marriage restored. I'm never going to stop telling people that God can restore and reconcile and deliver and heal. I've been healed 3 or 4 times. I've seen people get healed. I'm accountable now. Why? Because for much is given. Hello? Much is required. I am accountable now. I don't do things just for accountability. I do things because of my love for him. And I'm not saying sometimes I do things because I have to, because my emotions or other things get in the way, and I'm fighting powers of darkness, and I'm getting hit with every fiery dart, and I'm walking around my shield of faith, I'm dragging it, you know, and my helmet's on backwards, and my pants are falling down, you know, because the belt of truth, it keeps loosening up on me, and I'm fighting and fighting. Hello? But it doesn't mean that you quit. It doesn't mean that you stop being accountable. It has nothing to do with serving God. You serve God because of who he is and what he's done for you. You serve him because you love him, because he has already expressed his love for you. You become a faithful steward, not in front of people, but behind them. Hello. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, to God be the glory. Is everybody all right? In verse 10, read it with me. He who is what? Faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. Man, if you can't be faithful with $10, you're not going to be faithful with $1,000. And he was unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you've not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? So if you're not faithful in what's been granted to you, how are you going to be faithful in what God gives you? Hello? If you're at work and you're on a job and you just don't care about what's what, you're using somebody else's tools, you're using somebody else's vehicle, whatever it is, and you have the mindset, well, it's not mine. Well, God looks at that and he says, you are not accountable. And because you're not accountable, I can't trust you. And I know that you're not responsible. Amen? Understand that these things are what God is looking for right now. He's looking for individuals that are willing to be accountable to each and every one. Why? Because if you're willing to submit and be accountable, you're going to be responsible. Hello? Good. Titus 1. Accountability what? Produces responsibility. Titus chapter 1. Everybody all right? Oh, to God be the glory. Titus chapter 1 and verse 5. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set what? In order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. So we see here that Titus was accountable, right, and responsible. And Paul was saying, come on, I've left you here so you can what? Set things in order. Amen? If a man is blameless and a husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination, for a bishop or overseer must be blameless as a what? Steward of God. Not what? Self-willed. Not quick-tempered. Not given to wine. Not violent. Not greedy for money. But hospitable. A lover of what is good. Sober-minded. Just. Holy. Self-controlled. Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who are what? Contradict. So he's saying here that we are to be blameless, aren't we? Amen? We're to be blameless. Accountability will produce responsibility. If you're not willing to be accountable, did you ever notice when the pressure gets hot, you know, the fire gets hot, because that demon's beginning to manifest, and you don't realize he's manifesting, and he says, come on, we got to get out of here. And you go, yeah. And you make every kind of reason there is. You know why? That demon is being manifested. And that's all he wants to do is move you out of position, because you cannot be accountable, nor can you be trusted. Hello? Is everybody with me? Can I get an amen? Oh, I mean, you know when your greatest struggle is when that demon's being exposed. Amen? Come on. Man, that demon is just going, Mom, come on, we got to do something. Get out of here. Come on. Listen, we go back. We got to run in the account. Come on, let's go. And you're, huh? And you, wait a minute, who told me that? Wait a minute, it must be God. That's amazing. I gotta get pushed. No, the Spirit leads, the devil pushes. The problem is most people can't discern between the push and the lead. You know why? Because they're emotionally attached to everything. Remember, very important, do not be led by the emotions of your heart. Be led by the voice of your heart, a thought. Amen? Because the emotions will mislead you every time. People move by how they feel. And very emotional individuals are very unpredictable. Very. They're up and down. They're teeter-totter. They're on a roller coaster ride. One day they're fine. Next day they're up. And you can't trust them because you never know which way they're going to react towards something. But they got all the right words. And they got all emotions. Oh, shubogaku katiri arabosi. You know? They can do it all. Lift their hands, praise, and all kinds of stuff. But you can't trust them. Why? Because they haven't earned your trust because they're not accountable. Amen? Individuals that are not accountable are untrustable. Hello? Oh, hallelujah. Okay, let's go a little further. Praise God. Did we finish this? Be hospitable, lover of what is good, so holding fast to the faithful word. sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who, okay, contradict. We got it. 1 Corinthians 9. Accountability produces what? Responsibility. You know, when you show up and work on time, you punch in that clock because the boss is looking at, well, I want to make sure that I'm paying the person the right hours, this, that, whatever, you know. You're earning accountability, aren't you? You're actually earning responsibility because you're becoming accountable. So in that, you're earning trust. 1 Corinthians 9:14. Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the what? Oh, man, we got a lot of preachers out there. Woohoo! They're all over the place. The problem is they don't live by the gospel. They live by their emotion. Hello? They live by their emotion. And those people need deliverance because they're attached too many places to the soul ties. That soul tie. Man, if you're led by emotions and you're tormented all the time by emotions and feelings, those are associated soul ties that need to get broke. Hello? Okay. Where were we? Oh, to God be the glory. Verse 15. But I have used none of these things, nor have I written these things that it should be done so to me. For it would be better for me to what? Die than anyone should make my boasting void. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with what? Stewardship. Now this is powerful because he's saying, you know what? I don't feel like doing it, but I know it's the proper thing to do. See, so someone that's, he's saying he's been entrusted with stewardship. See, a steward is not going to be led by what he feels. There's sometimes I just don't feel like going to jail. But I go. And when I get there, I get blessed. Because I know what's waiting me every time. There's some of you didn't feel like coming here today. Amen? Man, we got to do this again. Worship. Communion, word, laying hands on. I don't feel like going through that again. And the devil starts telling you it's the same thing every week. You know what? He's not gone yet. He ain't gone yet then. Hallelujah. But we live out of the gospel. Amen? We live. Why? Because we lean not on our own understanding. We don't live by what we see. We walk by faith. We don't go by how we feel. We walk by faith. Why? Because we know the promises of God are true. Amen? We know what awaits us. And I'm not talking about eternal life. I'm talking about obedience that brings blessing, God's presence. You know, so many people mistake God's presence with emotional feeling. There's a difference. There's a difference in God's presence than an emotional feeling. Oh, that's another teaching. Oh, verse 19. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a what? Servant to all. That I might win the more. And to the Jews I became a Jew, that I might win Jews. And to those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. And to those who are without the law, as without the law, not being without law toward God, but under the law toward Christ. That I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake. not that I may be partaker of it with you. So he's saying, listen, I do this for the gospel's sake, not for my sake. Amen? You know, you just got, this is where he says, die. Deny yourself daily. Be accountable so that you can be responsible. Amen? Go to 1 Corinthians 4. And live from the gospel. Don't just preach it. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2. Would you read it with me? Let a man so consider us as what? Servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be what? Found faithful. I would say faithful. Faithful, the fruits of faithful are accountable, accountability, and responsibility. Amen? Because if you're a faithful individual, you're accountable and responsible. Amen? So the fruits of faithfulness is accountability and responsibility. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Remember, faithful, when you are faithful with something, you are not the owner, but the operator. And you're becoming more and more sensitive in how the owner responds to things. Amen? You become more sensitive in how your owner responds to things. That's what produces a good steward. Why? Because one of the desires of an owner is to be like-minded. Amen? God requires us to be like-minded. That's what Paul talked about. He said, man, I don't have enough people that are like-minded. Go to James 4. James chapter 4. Hallelujah. James chapter 4. Is everybody there? Accountability produces what? Responsibility. James chapter 4. And verse 7. Read it with me, please. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So, those who are not accountable, they can't submit. Because the word account is a representation of submit. Amen? You must submit. You're going to give account of what you're submitting. Amen? So, submit to God and then resist the devil. You know how many people try to resist the devil without submitting to God? They can't. They can't. They try to overcome the powers of darkness with not submitting under the authority of Christ. And if you're not under authority, you have none. I don't care how many times you tell the devil to leave. He's going to kick your butt. Amen? Submit to God and resist the devil. Accountability and responsibility is associated with submission. Amen? Go to 1 Peter 5. Someone that's not willing to be accountable cannot be responsible. 1 Peter chapter 5. Is everybody there in verse 5? Would you read it with me? Likewise, is everybody there? Okie dokie. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Now, he doesn't mean age. Young in the Lord. Submit yourself to the older ones in the Lord. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with the cloak humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Do you ever get around somebody who's always trying to prove they're right? Hello? That's called a prideful spirit. Haughty spirit. I'm right. That's all they're trying to do is justify what their wrongs are. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. What? Submit to God and resist the devil. And that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. How many people are still trying to fix their own stuff? Now, if you're still trying to fix your own stuff, are you considered accountable? No, because God says, submit to God. Amen. Cast your cares to God. It says, be sober, verse 8. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can move out of position. Amen? Because the first thing he must do before he can devour you is move you out of position. He can't touch you if you're in position. But he can sure mess with you if you're out of position. And some people go, well, the devil ain't bothering me. How do you know? Well, I'm fine. Right, then you ain't doing nothing. Something's not right. Hello? Because the devil attacks the righteous and supports the wicked. Hello? That's why the Bible says many afflictions are the righteous, but God delivers them out of all of them. Oh, hallelujah. Submission is learned. Everyone say, submission is learned. Trust is earned. If you can't submit, you can't be trusted. It's impossible. Why? Because you're not accountable. If you're not willing to be accountable, you're not willing to be responsible. Amen? If you show up on the job and you're a foreman on the job and somebody's always missing, they're always going to lunch 2 hours ahead of time, they're making every excuse to get off the job, can you trust them? No way. Or they go to lunch and come back the next day? I'll be right back. I used to do that in the world. I'll be right back. See ya 3 days later, you know. Hallelujah. Thank God it wasn't me. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Thank God I'm a new creation in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Verse 18. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me? Let no one deceive himself. Hello? Don't deceive yourself. If any among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. Amen? You know, you ever get around somebody and say, man, I'm a good person. I'm this, I'm that. Well, the Bible says no one's good. Our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. Amen? Now listen. In this is where we've got to come out. You've got to begin to listen to how many eyes you're throwing out of your mouth. Ay, 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 ay. I always tell everybody it's a demonic pizza. Right? Remember that song? Ay, ay, ay. Never mind. You know, and when you begin to hear too many eyes, it's because the person is justifying. He's trying to reason. And he's got a demon. It's a prideful one and haughty one. I do this. I do that. Ay, ay, ay. What happened to the Lord? Well, yeah, he's around here somewhere. Verse 19. For the wisdom of this world is what? Foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. Ooh. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Actually, it's futile, but I like the word futile. And since I'm preaching, I can say it any way I want. Ay, 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 ay.
Hallelujah.
Well, I'm giving you a good example, right?
Praise God.
Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, whatever his name is, or the world or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's. Hallelujah. Turn to wisdom of the world is, there's a demonic wisdom of the world, isn't there? There's a place where people become false submissive. They pretend to submit, but they really don't. Amen? And false submission is evil, and it will always be exposed. Do you ever get in front of someone that says, yeah, 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 and then they turn around and nothing happens. It's the same thing over and over. Again. Yeah, yeah, I got it. Yeah, I'm going to do, yeah, yeah. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that, and they walk away. They don't do this, they don't do that, and they don't do anything they just said. That's called false submission, and it's demonic. Amen? Worldly reasoning buys things. Hello? Spends money on things when it doesn't have it. Does things for self-promotion, worldly wisdom. Come on, and worldly reasoning. Look what the world's trying to do is trying to promote self, isn't it? Right? And it's trying to defend self. That's why people get offended so easy. Because self is bigger than their spirit. Go to Genesis 39. Oh, hallelujah. It's a good day to die. Genesis 39. Now there was a gentleman named Joseph whose brothers sold him out, man. Sold him out. In verse 30 and chapter 39 and verse 1, Joseph became a prisoner. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. So the Ishmaelites had bought him from his brother and sold him. And Potiphar bought him. Amen? And the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. And the Lord made all he did to prosper in his land. Now, it didn't happen overnight, did it? It took years. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. He did what? He served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, but first he had to do what? Serve him. So he was accountable and then became responsible, and he became the overseer of the house, didn't he? Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had, he put under his authority. Whoa, he gave everything to him. He said, this is all yours now. Why? Because you have been accountable and responsible, and you've earned my trust. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. So he wasn't even checking up on Joseph. He just gave it all to him and said, man, you've earned my trust. You've been accountable, you've been responsible, you've been faithful with a little, and everything you've been faithful with a little, I've given you more, I've given you more, and I've given you more. To where now, He no longer checked on him. He just enjoyed what the blessings were coming because they became like-minded. Amen? In verse 6, thus he left all that was in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for what he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And it came to pass after these things that the master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. She said, lie with me. Well, let me tell you, the devil is always going to tempt you. The one thing that he always tempts an officer with is lust. Hello. That's the number one thing he'll tempt you with. Most people get moved out of position because of someone else, because of lust. Hello. Yes, but I've been promised. You know how many people, Lord, you promised me this wife. You promised me this husband. This must be them. Whew. When God isn't finished with them. Does everybody understand that? Everything, if it's not God's will, it's not God's time. And then people get themselves in trouble later, don't they? Why? Because they've never got that impartation that God wanted to fill while they were separate. Even when the Lord restored my wife and myself for almost a year, we were separated 3 days a week because she was working in Lakeland. It was the job of the Lord opened up. But in so, my mother-in-law got saved. Hallelujah. So God worked all things to the good. And it was a wonderful time at that time. We longed to be together, but we had to do what God wanted us to do. And it was an opportunity for both of us to grow. So the 3 days that we were away, it helped us to mature more in the Lord. And trust in God and watch his hand move. I'm not trying to tell everybody who's married to leave their family 3 days a week, all right? All right, honey, you heard what the pastor said. You're out of here for 3 days. That's not what I'm saying. I'm telling you that this is what God had my wife and I do when we were reconciled. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, glory to God. Let's just keep going. Hallelujah. But he refused in verse 8, and he said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in this house, and he has committed all that he has in my hand. I am not giving enough for you, honey. There is no greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? See, most people think that they're offending or they're coming against their boss or the pastor or whoever, but they're actually sinning against God, aren't they? And that's where people lose sight. They begin to look at man and lose sight that it's God. You know, one day we had all the stuff in our yard. We had all the juice. We had cans of juice, and these kids were hopping our fence and stealing the juice from the U-Haul truck. And so one day I caught them, and they were like, "Oh!" I said, and I forgot exactly the words, but I said something about, "What have you done?" "Oh, Mister, we're sorry. This, that, whatever." I said, "Man, don't you know who you offended? Oh, we're really sorry, Mister. This, that, whatever. We won't take any more." I said, "You've not offended me. You've offended the Lord." These guys both looked at me. I said, "We need to ask for forgiveness." They both bowed their head. I said, "No, say after me, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord." You know, and these guys were repentant. I said, "Now, that's all you needed to do is come and ask." And I both gave them juice, case of juice or something like that to go. And you know that they made sure that no one else went in the yard to steal anymore? Even the people that they associated with? Why? Because they weren't offending the owner. They were offending the Lord. Amen? And they waved at me every time they saw me. Praise God. Oh, to God be the glory. Now, in verse 10, so it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left her his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. Good. Depart from evil, man. You know, most people these days, I ain't going there. In verse 13. So it was when they were saying, "Oh, this must be God." This must be God, the Lord, man. Lord, you know how hard I've been praying about this. I just can't give in any longer. Must be God. No. Okay. And so it was, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, "See, he has brought it into us, a Hebrew, to mock us. He came into me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice." Oh. Talks about Jezebel, huh? "And it happened when he had heard that I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside." So I want you to see something very powerful. Even though the master was gone, he was accountable to God. No matter what the circumstance, he ran, he fled. He was still trying to maintain the master's goods. He didn't let anything sway or move him out of place. Why? Because he was accountable to God. That was his main priority. Not man, but accountable to God. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in and mocked me, and so what happened is I lifted my voice and cried out, and so forth, and I cried rape." So it was when his master heard that the words of his wife spoke to him, saying, "Your servant did to me after this manner," that his anger was aroused, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, in a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph. Why? Because he didn't do anything wrong. He was accountable to God and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. And the keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority. Man, he gained everywhere he went. Why? Because he was accountable to God. Amen? If you are not, how can somebody be accountable? If they can't be accountable to man, how can they be accountable to God? Amen? If they're going to stand in front of you and lie to your face, how can they be accountable to God? And the keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it what? Prosper. Why? Joseph was accountable and came responsible, and he earned the trust of God. That's why he put him in places. Amen. Joseph did not try to escape prison. Hello. He did not try to tell his master in the house when the woman tried to attack him, "But I've done this for you. I've done that for you. Your wife is a liar." It wasn't me. He did not try to defend himself, did he? He stood fast because his accountability was to God. And that's where God is requiring us to get to. Being so accountable to him that nothing else matters. Amen? Go to Romans 3, please. Is everybody okay? Can we go a little further? Praise God. A couple more hours will be all right. Better turn the AC up. Is it warm in here or is it you? Whew, I thought so. Praise God. Romans 3. Verse 19. 19 and 20. Would you read it with me? Now, we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So the law was brought forth to bring accountability. Does everybody understand that? The law was brought forth to bring what? Accountability. Oh, hallelujah. So the law exposes sin, which brings man into accountability, doesn't it? Other than that, prior to that, they didn't know what sin was. And so the law came. Galatians 3. Galatians 3. Oh, hallelujah. Are you getting this? Galatians chapter 3. Good, because I'm sure you'll be tested today, tomorrow, in a few days. Well, I had to let you know, right? Okay, yes. We'll see when you go through the grocery store during this Christmas time or buying gifts and the cash register, the cashier gives you too much money and you count it and the voice says to you, hey, man, you know, this must be God's blessing. Well, that's why, well, you know you're short on money to get more gifts. It sure would help during this season. Well, Lord, you have a wonderful way of blessing us. No, you're checked to see if you're accountable. Why? Because you're earning his trust. If you're accountable, you're responsible. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. And Galatians chapter 3 and verse 23. Is everybody there? But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our what? Tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. Amen? So the law was the tutor. What was it doing? Making us accountable so that we can become responsible. Now go to Hebrews 8 for a moment. Hebrews 8. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 8. And verse 7. Would you read it with me? Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 7. Is everybody there? For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant. And I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my what? Laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. And I'll be their God and they shall be my people. Now that's very powerful. Because when you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and got filled with the Holy Spirit, the laws came in you. But the thing is you're more accountable than just the Ten Commandments now. Because now there's the law of the Spirit, isn't there? There are certain things that he's going to tell you don't do. Why? Because there's relationship. Number one, God never interrupts himself. That's one of the ways to find out whether you're listening to God or not. Amen? He doesn't interrupt himself. He doesn't tell you to go do something and then stop you from doing it. Amen? Unless there's a divine intervention where something is happening right then and there. But he always has you complete what you started. Always. Amen? So we see here the laws are already in us and cause us to submit and become accountable, don't they? you know, you know. You know. You know when you're touching something. You know when you're listening to something. You know when you're looking at something. You know. You already know. Hallelujah. Whew. Almost took off. So you know exactly what's happening, don't you? But that struggle in the emotional realm, that's where it hits. That struggle in the emotional realm that says, no, this would feel better. See, he tells you things, the devil tells you things to make you feel what? Better. And it's nothing but a lie, isn't it? See, that's why we have the law. Do not do this. Do not do that. How many times you went to go grab something and the Holy Spirit said, no, don't touch that. Don't touch that. 1 Peter chapter 4. Praise God. We're going to have to make an album. 1 Peter chapter 4. Don't touch that. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. Would you read it with me? But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be what? Serious. And what? Watchful in your prayers. Whoa. In other words, that's where God's going to show you. You're not writing a letter to Santa Claus in your prayer time. Oh, Lord, if it's your will. Oh, Lord, if it's your will, would you please answer all of my requests? That's not praying the word. That's praying out of emotion. That's called false hope. Hello? But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Why? God's going to expose you. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Love will cover a multitude of stupidity. Hello? Be hospitable to one another without what? Wait a minute. That should be a capital G, capital R, without what? Grumbling. Oh, man, my flesh is bigger than your flesh. As each one has received a gift or talent, is everybody with me? As each one has received a gift or a talent, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Wow. So you know these talents that God gave you? Let them be anointed by the Lord so that they can be used for the prospering of the kingdom of God. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. As each one has received a gift or a talent, minister it to one another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. One another. Amen. Everybody has a gift they can share with one another. Don't they? Amen. Praise God. He says submit to one another. Why? That means be accountable to one another. You remember Cain and Abel? What did the Lord say? He said, where's your brother? He said, man, what do you mean? I'm not my brother's keeper. Oh, yes, you are. You're your brother's killer right now. Hello? Why? Because he wasn't accountable, was he? Matthew 12. We're almost done. A few more scriptures. You're going to make it today. Oh, hallelujah. And you'll be tested today. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. You know, people who are not accountable cause others to fall. And they cause others to fall because of their selfish ambitions. they put others in danger. Does everybody understand that? That's why you judge by the fruit. Because people who are not accountable are not responsible. And they actually assist in promotion of others. They cause others to fall because of their responses. Amen? And because of their selfish ambitions. Well, me, 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 me. So I'm just going to do what I want and do what I feel like. And I'm not going to care what others are going to see me do. Well, that person becomes a cancer and a stumbling block to others. Do you ever notice that when somebody is leaving a flock, they try to bring everybody with them? I mean, everybody's been in some kind of ministry or whatever. They try to convince that they're right, that what they're doing is of God, right? It's because they're running from accountability. And then they want to justify by bringing everybody into it. Amen? And they actually become danger to other people until some individuals begin to stand up and say, no. You know, I get people come to me and say, well, you know, Pastor, I saw this and I knew this and whatever. And so why'd you do? Would you do something about it? Well, no, you know, I just didn't want to interfere. I didn't want to be known as a stoolie or a tattletale. But God says expose. Amen? He says if you don't warn that person, if you don't do this, the blood's on your hand. Let me say, people who are not accountable cause others to fall because of their selfish ambitions. And the blood is on their hands. So if you can think of anything that you've been involved with today that has caused someone else to fall because you promoted something or you did something, I don't care if it's, no matter what it is, you went and helped somebody. You know how many times people give money to someone and they know they're an addict? You know what I'm saying? They give money to someone. And they know. Well, you know, and they ask them for food. You know, I just want to go out and buy some food. Well, how much you need? Oh, 20. Hello? And then they go and they come back 4 hours later. Man, it was good dinner. And I get another 20 for tomorrow's breakfast. And they give it to them. You know? So what are you doing? You're promoting their death, aren't they? And they have no idea. And the blood is on their hands because of ignorance and stupidity. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Where did I say to go? Matthew 12. Thank you. We're going to get through this today. And the devil is going to be snagged. I'm chasing the devil. I'm going to expose his tail, his butt, and his ugly mouth. Hello. And then we're going to kick him out. Amen? Hallelujah. In Matthew 12. In verse 33. Would you read it with me, please? Come on, the Holy Spirit's beginning to bring some pictures in your mind about some things. So you were even right now. It's a good opportunity to repent because there's blood on hands. Now, of course, pride will justify. Amen? Pride will justify. Oh, man, you know, don't justify and don't reason. Repent. Verse 33, either make the what? Tree good and its fruits good, or else make the tree bad and its fruits bad. For a tree is known by its what? Fruits. So a spirit is known by its fruits, right? Brood of vipers, how can you be an evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You'll know whether somebody's heart is contaminated or not, or spirit contaminated, because out of the mouth, the heart speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. So you got to remember every lie, every exaggeration you utilized, and repent for them. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be what? Condemned. Romans 14. Romans 14. Oh, praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Romans 14. I guess I'm saying it to myself. Romans 14. There we go. And verse 8. Would you read it with me, please? Romans 14 and verse 8. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For if we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. In other words, your deeds. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Now, he's saying, don't judge the brother, judge the what? Fruit. Then you'll know where the brother's at, won't you? Amen. Good. So we know that each one of us will give account for our deeds. We will give account for our words, won't we? Hebrews 13. Oh, praise God. Almost one more scripture after this. You can go home and eat popcorn. Praise God. Hebrews 13 and verse 7. Would you read it with me, please? Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away about with various and strange doctrines. Why? Listen. Why? Because you're going to judge by the fruit, aren't you? First of all, you're going to judge the person by the fruit who's carrying his doctrine. Amen? There are people who come against the move of the Spirit, the gifts, and so forth. First of all, if they're coming against it, what you want to find out is whether they've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Because they can't give what they don't have. Amen? And you're certainly not going to take a word from someone that comes up with a bottle of wine and a cigar in their mouth and tells you, I got a word for the Lord for you. Amen? Impossible. Okay. Do not be what? Carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace and not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. For we have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey those who rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls, as those who must give account. So, those who are watching out for your souls must give account to God, don't they? Amen. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be what? Unprofitable to you. Now, I want to close at Revelation 22. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Accountability produces what? Responsibility. Accountability produces responsibility. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 12. 22:12. Is everybody there? Come on, let's read it together. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his what? Work, deeds, words. Hello. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments. Now, he's not just talking about Ten Commandments. You understand that? Because we're in New Covenant now. He's talking about the things he's requiring us to do. The things he's telling us to do are his commandments. When the Lord speaks to you, it is a command. Amen? They are now commandments. Amen? Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs, sorcerers. Can you ever get around people who call each other dog? Or they're outside the gate. Hey, dog. Dog, man, dogs eat the crumbs from the table. Yo, dog. Amazing. I remember one of my neighbors named her dog Trouble. My wife and I looked at each other and said, oh, man, this dog was trouble, man. I'm telling you. Hallelujah. Blessed are those who do his commands. Okay. That they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers. And here, sorcerers are a representation of drug users. And sexual immoral and murderers and idolaters. And whoever loves and practices a what? A lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say what? Come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Amen. Now, accountability does bring responsibility. If you can't be submissive to those who've ruling over you, you can't be submissive to God. And it's not an area where it's control. It's called submission. Amen. Everybody must be accountable to one another. People who are hiding and doing things are not willing to be accountable. Amen? Why? Because accountability produces responsibility. And you are earning trust. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word today. And Lord, each and every one of us sit before you and we repent for every area that we've not been accountable or responsible. Lord, we repent for anyone that we have caused to stumble in our conduct and our actions, for any of our selfish ambitions. Lord, we forgive those who've used us and abused us, who stole from us, who've spoken against us. Lord, we forgive them right now, and we bless them, and we commit them into your hands. Lord, let nothing interfere with our relationship with you. Help us to be good stewards and to finish those things you've asked us to. And to be good stewards of the things you've given us, for much is granted, much is required. Help us, Master. Guide us by your Spirit and teach us to be accountable to you, that we may be responsible and earn your trust. In Jesus' name.